I'd like to call the May 23rd Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Stanton.
Present.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Here.
Ms. Russell.
Present.
Mr. Tuohy.
Here.
I am here. Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. Harder.
Here.
Mr. McMahon. We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any changes to the agenda for this evening?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton.
Second.
Second by Mr. Strodman. Thumbs up approval of the agenda? Unanimous. Everyone should have received the minutes from the May 9th regular meeting. Were there any additions or changes to the meeting minutes?
I move to approve the minutes from the May 9th, 2019 regular meeting minutes.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Second by Ms. Russell. Can I get a thumbs up approval of the minutes? Unanimous. Thank you. Our first case tonight is a tabling request, case 122-2019, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of HJRJ Investments, LLC for a major amendment to the existing Copperstone Commercial CP plan to allow for mixed-use development to include commercial, office, and residential uses to be known as Copperstone Lot 102A PD Plan. The subject property is located on the west side of Front Gate Drive, approximately 300 feet south of Vautier School Road, and is commonly addressed as 4015 Front Gate Drive. The applicant has requested that this item be tabled to the June 6, 2019 Planning Commission meeting. Mr. Zenner, may we have a staff report, please?
Yes, won't be much of one. The map here on the screen is the location of the subject site. It is just south of Front Gate Lane, which is a private drive accessed off of or addressed off of Front Gate Drive. 4015 is set, 2.2 acres. This is a planned district property, and it will have a unique mixed-use project on it when we do discuss it in greater depth at our next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. This will be a mixed commercial residential PD, first that we will have seen here. I think that we'll be using single-family attached housing, actually, as the residential component, not integrated multi-story residential. So due to the unique nature of it and a desire of the applicant to sell the residential units, and that became more graphically depicted on a second round of comments. We had some additional internal staff comments that needed a little bit of extra time to be addressed between the applicant and staff, and as a result of that, the applicant would like to request a tabling of the project for a single meeting cycle to the June 6th meeting in order to allow us to fully address the comments and be able to look at potential compromises that may be able to be arrived at as it relates to some of the comments. It is still a little bit of a fluid situation. The 2 weeks, which is a question that often gets asked of us, will it be enough? We do believe it will be. The comments were relatively narrow in their focus and just required some additional discussion internally as to what staff was concerned about and what the applicant could potentially do in order to address that. Time frame when we came to the point of making those final revision comments just became too tight to our actual packet production schedule, and therefore the request to table was submitted. So we are supportive of the request. We believe it will yield an opportunity for us to work out those issues with the applicant and do not believe that the 2 weeks is too short a period of time in order to do so. So June 6th is the applicant's requested tabling date, and we support that.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Are there any questions for staff? Would we have comments from public?
This was a public advertised item, so if there are residents here from the public or if the applicant's representative would like to speak from Crockett Engineering in regards to the request, it would probably be appropriate. Otherwise, there is no material that we will present this evening other than the request to table.
We'll open up the floor for public comment if anyone would like to make any comments on this case. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Commission discussion. Ms. Russell, Mr. Stanton.
I can yield the floor to my colleague.
You're going to yield to Ms. Russell.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
In the case of 122-2019, I move to table until the June 6th, 2019 planning meeting.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please, Ms. Burns?
Yes. Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Mr. Strodman?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. Harder?
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for tabling will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to subdivisions. Case 117-2019, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Show Me Central and Missouri Habitat for Humanity for a preliminary plat to be known as Boone Prairie. The 50.2-acre site is zoned R1 and IG, industrial. The proposed development would contain 143 single-family residential lots and 13 common lots used for water quality on the R1-zoned portion of the property, and one lot presently improved with a cell tower on the IG-zoned portion of the property. The site is generally located to the southeast of the intersection of U.S. Highway 63 and Brown Station Road. May we have a staff report, please, Ms. Bacon?
Yes, Madam Chair. As you mentioned, this is a preliminary plat for Boone Prairie. The preliminary plat will reconfigure the lot arrangement and the road arrangement for previously platted property under Boone Prairie Plat 1 and Boone Prairie Plat 2. Public information, we had a meeting on April the 30th. The applicant appeared, no one from the public attended. I haven't gotten any comments from anybody in any other way, and we did send 31 postcards to adjacent properties. This proposal will allow for 143 single-family lots to be developed by the Habitat for Humanity organization, so it will be affordable housing. So here's the general subject site. It's off of Brown Station Road. The existing cell tower is the sole IG zone portion of the property right here. This is an electric substation that's owned by the city. You've got Route B over here and then Highway 63. And then right in this area is the Blue Ridge Elementary site. And then you've got Albert Oakland Park over here. So as previously mentioned, it's 143 residential lots and 13 common lots on the R1 portion of the property, which is about 50 of the 50.28-acre site, and then that one lot that's existing now with the cell tower. There was a previous configuration. You can see it here on the aerial photography that had a little bit different road layout and a little bit different lot layout. So this preliminary plat will allow for reconfiguration of that. There are some unnecessary right-of-way and easements from the previous platting that will need to be vacated prior to any final platting action of this new preliminary layout. So Brown Station Road provides the access points. There are two, generally here and here. So Brown Station Road is an improved major collector. There is sidewalk along nearly all of it, so all but this portion of the road on the eastern side does have its existing sidewalk. Now, where the lot layout might change a little bit might cause for some rebuilding of sidewalk and then the filling of the gap right here. But for the most part, there is sidewalk there and there's curb and gutter. There will be some additional right-of-way dedication to have a full 40 half width going north to south. It is a little bit substandard here in certain parts on the southern portion of the roadway. The city will allow lot 144, which is that cell tower lot, to have continued access via the city's electric substation driveway. So it would kind of off the bottom of your screen here, but there's an existing long driveway. it's city practice that unless there's a security reason, city driveways are open to the public. This particular facility has on-site security measures, and so at this point, Water and Light have said that it's totally fine to continue to use that driveway. It's not a private closed-off driveway. All of the internal streets meet the standard for a local residential street, so that's a 50-foot right-of-way and 28-foot pavement width. Sidewalks will be required along all of the interior roadways and as well as that missing gap, as I mentioned, on Brown Station. There also will be a 10-foot utility easement with the final plat along all public streets. There's one significant tree on the site with the final platting. In addition to the utility easements and the requirement for sidewalks, the development will need to meet all of the landscaping, screening, and buffering requirements of the UDC. In terms of the connectivity index, that's how many nodes or intersection points there are per street way. It does meet our code as 1.8, which exceeds the 1.65 requirement. The number of lots on each street and the roadway links are all meet the requirements of the UDC. There's no direct driveway access allowed on Brown Station Road, and none of the lots are shown with direct driveway access, so that part of the code is met. Those 13 common lots include this existing stormwater detention basin right here on C13, which is anticipated to remain. Those will be dedicated to the Homeowners Association. They can be used primarily for stormwater, but they'll also be used for green space and amenities for the residents who are going to be living in this particular development. Electric, water, and sanitary sewer service will be provided by the city. After internal and external review, this does meet the standard requirements for a preliminary plat, and so this evening we are recommending approval of the preliminary plat for Boone Prairie.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Before we move to commissioner questions of staff, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte prior to this meeting related to case 117-2019 to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case. Mr. Stanton.
Ms. Chair, I'm just being very cautious. I'm involved with the land trust and would may have something to do with this in the future. So just to play it safe, I probably will recuse myself from this. So just be safe.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Anybody else? Ms. Rushing.
I had a discussion with some friends regarding a previous development by Habitat, that some of the comments that were made would probably apply to this development also. I believe that I can hear the evidence and make a judgment on what's before us without being prejudiced by those comments.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right.
Checking with our attorney to see if he disagreed with me.
He's given you full approval to remain. Mr. Toohey.
I have a question for staff. Are we at that point?
Yes. All disclosure ex parte is completed. Questions for staff. Mr.
Can Toohey. You go back to your second slide? I think one of them might have said Arbor Point. Maybe not. Maybe I missed something.
Yes. I apologize. I didn't change the heading.
Okay. Just making sure. Does that matter at all?
The slideshow is provided only for the purposes of...
All right. Perfect. Just making sure.
Information.
Any additional questions for staff?
All of the detention retention areas, are they tied in to a storm sewer system, or are they freestanding? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Crockett may be able to answer that question.
Project engineer is here, and I think that would be a question better asked and answered by Crockett's office themselves.
Okay.
I've got one more question. Just looking at the plat, I was under the assumption with the UDO that this would have required three entrances, not two. Am I wrong in that?
Anything that is over 30 lots requires a secondary point of access. I don't believe And that access, so the two points of access actually are coming to a collector or an arterial roadway, and I believe that is one of the conditions and criteria that's within it. So if this was a standard residential street and it had this number of lots, I believe the I haven't slept with the ordinance enough to know the detail, but I believe, if I recall correctly, it refers to collector and arterial streets. So if your access has come out to one of them, the necessity for a third entry point when you get to this level of lots is waived, because it is deemed that the road capacity of the connecting streets, the two points of access, will allow for the distribution of the traffic. Within the development, we do have a requirement as it relates to street segment loading. And as Ms. Bacon pointed out, the street segments themselves was verified and was found compliant with the code itself. So I can defer to Crockett's office to answer that question in greater detail if you'd like. But based on our staff analysis, which goes through a lot of internal analysis, not just by our staff, it was not found to be non-compliant.
I will say we spent a lot of time on this because of the curvilinear nature of the development is a little bit different than what we normally see. So we spent quite a bit of time doing our analysis with the Public Works Department.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Any additional questions for staff? I see none. We will open up the floor to public comment. If there's anyone that would like to come forward and address the commission on this case, we would welcome that information. If you can please give us your name and address for the record.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Green with Crockett Engineering at 1000 West Nifong Boulevard, Building 1, Columbia, Missouri, 65203. I'm here representing the applicant. What you see before you, pretty straightforward request, all zoned R1, so staff report was pretty thorough. To answer your question about the stormwater, so the pocket water quality lots, basically in the backyards, they're all tied to storm sewer, so they're all going to eventually make their way down to the detention basin on the north side. Basically, city stormwater manual on design. So, happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Any additional questions for Mr. Green?
I'm back on
Ms. Rushing.
I'm still on those detention basins. Mm-hmm. And it indicated that the homeowners association would maintain those. What about access? You know, each basin is in the backyard of multiple homes.
Yeah, it's basically in their backyard. So in previous versions of the code, they would have been required to have stem lots to access those, actually fronting on the street right away. But the UDC, if I'm correct, is what changed. Basically, it's got an access easement that follows a lot line, a common lot line between two neighboring lots, and they're actually shown on here. But
is that what those darker?
Those are the pocket bioretention cells. It's basically a placeholder, but the actual access easement, just for an example, I'm looking at lot 24 and 25 on the top of the page, basically on the east side of the property. So between that, there's a dashed line which shows an access easement, and that's typical for the other lots.
Okay.
So it's not public right of way, but it is allowed by an easement for public, I guess, city maintenance if they had to get back there to maintain those should the owner not maintain them themselves.
And is it anticipated these would be planted or unplanted? As in rain garden or?
Yeah, bioretention is typically the most common water quality feature that we design. They give you the most bang for the buck as far as quantity and quality and ease of construction and maintenance, as well as providing good drainage. So one thing to consider with all these in these backyards, bioretentions are favorable to get basically stormwater out of there as opposed to rain garden, which is more marshy, if you will, and kind of allows water to pond there for more amounts of time. But bioretentions have a larger overflow, and so they're better at draining, which is better for the backyards.
Okay. Any additional questions for Mr. Green? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Green. Mm-hmm. If you have any comments, please come up to the podium. Please give us your name and address for the record.
My name is Barbara Jefferson, and my address is 305 North Fifth Street. So on this project you're going to bring, am I hearing that you're just going to have a way to get in from the back, a driveway from the back? Is that correct or not? I'm just trying to get it clarified.
The road frontage for the project is on Brown Station Road, and so the primary road that goes in front of the project, Brown Station, as you are probably aware, there's two entrance points here and here. Their rail line is on the back side of the property here, so there is no access from Route B. And then this is Highway 63, if I'm not incorrect, here on the northeast side of the property. And again, there is no access from there either. So all of the access is back out onto the existing city public street at the two entry points. The street, as Ms. Bacon pointed out, does require some additional road right-of-way to be dedicated. Should the city decide at some point in the future to widen that roadway to a larger number of travel lanes. But what is being proposed here is traditionally the way that subdivision development is proposed to be accessed and is compliant with the code.
Okay, I was just wondering. I'm just thinking about the traffic and all that, pretty much overall, truthfully, especially with the emergency situations and things like that.
Thank you.
And the question about drainage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would that be done again? Will they be able to have their own drainage area? How will that work?
You'll need to come up to the microphone, please. And the quick to the commission,
okay,
please.
Well, I thought he's answering my question. Okay.
Mr. Green, if you can give us your name and address again.
Andy Green with Crockett Engineering at 1000 West Nifong Boulevard, Building 1, here in Columbia 65203. So in residential subdivision like this, you're required to basically treat for the water quality component of storm sewer. And so basically in these backyards, there are these bioretention cells is what's typically installed. And they basically filter the water, if you will. It's basically a requirement of the city as far as development and stormwater management.
Okay, I'm just thinking, you know, because we really have been getting some heavy rain a lot. So two little things are going to take care of this area.
Yeah, that's correct. So a typical storm sewer system, and you're required to have up to the 100-year rainfall event, is supposed to be designed, and so there will be adequate ways for the water to get out of here and not flood homes, basically when significant storm systems come through.
Mr. Green, those retention cells are tied to the city system, which
correct.
It goes back to Ms. Rushing's question.
Right.
So those systems are tying into the city stormwater system. So the water isn't just collected there, but the water is directed there from the backyards and then taken away.
Well, there's just been a lot of flooding going on, and there's concern. When I think about the older part of Columbia, you know, and the way the water will run.
Can you speak into the
microphone? When I think about the older part of Columbia, and we're already having problems, but you're talking about this is already going to be into a drainage system already that should not be affecting other areas of Columbia. It's going to be adequate enough to take care of things like that.
Correct. And I'll just add a little bit. This is managed to prevent that, and what happened in the older part of Columbia is we did not have the rules that we have in place today, and so we've learned from the past, and what the city has done with stormwater the last few years is addressing all the past problems, or you know, making sure that we don't repeat the past and keep continuing to develop homes that flood the basements or have problems when it has large amounts of rain. So I think we've done a really good job the last number of years on addressing to make sure stormwater is not a problem like it has been in the older parts of Columbia.
Thank you.
Thank you.
D. Dawkins, 804 Egan Street. And I just have a statement. If climate realities are going to force density into my traditional single-family central city neighborhoods by denying downzoning requests, that same reasoning should apply to all neighborhoods, even this very worthy project. I think it's time to consider eliminating R1. I know you don't have the power to do that tonight and in general, but it's just an equity issue. Plus, it makes sense for density to be everywhere in the city.
Thank you, Ms. Dawkins. Are there any questions for Ms. Dawkins? Have some downzoning requests been denied?
Not that I am aware of, ma'am.
Thank you. Are there any additional public comments? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment period.
Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
If I may, I want to follow up to Mr. Toohey's question. I have slept long enough to know that the old code had the provisions I was referring to, where we had a threshold of multiple entry points with a waiver if you were for a third entry point, if you were along a collector or an arterial. The current UDC actually specifies a maximum number of lots off of a single entry to be no greater than 30. And I think I understand part of what the concern or question was. It's 143 lots here. Roughly, there should be, if you use the 30 lots, 4 points of entry. That is not, it doesn't empirically equate that way. The fire service, as well as our traffic engineering staff, evaluates how many options do the lots have within the development to be able to get out. So with the curvilinear street network and with the intersecting streets that come in, no greater than 30 lots off of a single road segment have less than 1 point of access to be able to get in or out of the development, out of the 2 primary entry points. If we had something that was created where we would have created a cul-de-sac, for example, that would have had only a single point of entry to those lots, and that was over 30, we would have required the cul-de-sac to be shortened to lessen those total number of lots. In this, the overall circular road pattern actually helps to eliminate, from a fire and a traffic circulation perspective, the necessity to build more entry points into the development than what are shown on the plan. So again, I go back to my initial statement. We reviewed it. We do find it to be in compliance with the access standard. And it does not necessarily, it's not a one-for-one application where for every 30 lots you expect to see an entry point into the project. Unique to this is that there are no abilities to stub to the northeast or directly to the east, or to the south for that matter, due to the existing development that is around this project site. If there were opportunities to do that, we'd have stub streets being shown, which would then allow for future connectivity and other entry points. Just wanted to provide that clarity.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Mr. Toohey.
Can I ask Mr. Green another question? Do you mind coming back up?
I'm going to reopen the public hearing.
So now, since density did get brought up, I was wondering about that as I was looking at this, and I talked myself out of asking the question because of who the applicant is, how my knowledge of how they develop these subdivisions. So did you guys think about doing an increased density in any part of this at all, or is that not capable based upon how the applicant will develop this area? Is that not feasible to add this type of affordable housing, I guess, is my question.
Andy Green, once again, I don't know if I got to say that. Unfortunately, Tim Crockett might be the best to answer that question. I was not too involved with the initial discussions as far as density, number of lots, arrangement of sorts with the our client. Unless I do have a representative from Habitat for Humanity here, if he wants to comment on that, but I'm sorry.
I mean, either one's fine. Just a curiosity. So,
sorry.
Since density is becoming an issue, so.
Madam Chair, just yes. To make sure that everybody's aware, now that the public hearing has been opened back up and the applicant was given an opportunity to speak, we should allow anyone else who wants to give additional comments also.
Thank you, Mr. Caldera. Are there any additional public comments? Any comments about the density of the project? I see none. I'm going to close public hearing. Return to commission discussion. Ms. Russell.
I'm going to make a motion. In the case of 117-2019 Boone Prairie preliminary plat, I move to approve the preliminary plat for Boone Prairie.
Second.
Second by Mr. Strodman. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Stanton. Oh, I'm so sorry. Forgot to put my X. Mr. Strodman.
Yes.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Tui.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
7-0 motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That closes our subdivision and takes us to public comments. Are there any public comments to be made at this time? You can give us your name and address again for the record. Thank you.
My name is Barbara Jefferson. I'm 305 North. I live at 305 North Fifth Street. I was watching that It was the work session you had on the 9th. Okay, about medical marijuana. Overall, my question has to do with you have a certain time limit to get back to the council. Is that because it seems like that meeting was kind of rushed and it was. It just seems like a lot of people really wasn't on.
That was our public hearing for the medical marijuana, for comments on the medical marijuana, and we did have a time. Right. I mean, we were providing comment at that meeting back to them. There was no time limit on the public comment.
No, I was just wondering if there was a time limit on when you had to get back to the. Didn't it have to go back to the city council or something like that?
Yes, it's on their agenda. It was on their agenda Monday.
Okay. And so what came out of that meeting on the 9th, your decision making, did you agree to have the stands and all that to be downtown or where are they going to be located at?
So there was a proposed addendum that this language is what we were reviewing, and I think we made about 20-odd motions to go through different line items within mm-hmm. that addendum, and there was different votes on each of those motions. So the commission, there was a variety of recommendations for that addendum. And then the addendum was forwarded to City Council with all of those recommendations.
So those are recommendations.
We're a recommending body. We don't make decisions. Mm-hmm. The City Council makes the final decision.
And so when the City Council make the final decision, then they have the right to alter things. I mean, you recommend things, but they have the right to rearrange it a different way.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Valerie Carroll, 13 West Boulevard. Yeah, I wanted to comment generally on the density issue. I am in favor of the city's aim to increase density. However, I do see the equity issue that the Dockin mentioned earlier, in that there are areas that have been zoned differently to allow for density. And I'm wondering if they're in sometime in the future anticipating the need to increase density for our climate action plan, if we could add some kind of zoning classification for in-law apartments and secondary structures. I've seen this used in other cities effectively.
We do have an accessory dwelling unit category. Yes.
Okay. I'm learning.
So, good idea. And it's one that is allowed in R2 and above, and it's conditional in R1.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a very active public comment period for us. Thank you all. There's no additional public comment. I'm going to close the public comment and move to staff comments.
Your next meeting will be June 6th. We will be having Ms. Carroll join us as a planning commissioner, so we will introduce and welcome her at that point again. However, unfortunately, we'll be having three of our members leaving us. I almost said departed. They'll be leaving us at two, potentially on a tentative basis. We have not finally fulfilled all of our vacancies. We did have three. Mr. Harder and Ms. Russell, as well as Ms. Burns, are commissioners that service has expired at this point and will not be rejoining us for the June 6th meeting. So that's the first point. We will have only at that point seven of our nine planning commissioners. So if you are going to be gone, I would like to know that before we wrap up this evening to ensure that we have a quorum, because you do have business on your June 6th agenda. And that will consist of these five cases. You have the My Backyard final plat. This is a final plat behind the existing My House. This is their concert venue location presently, where they set up their tents off of 6th. So this will have a design adjustment associated with it, three design adjustments, I'm being told, along with the final platting action. You have then three public hearing items. The first public hearing item was anticipated to be on tonight's agenda. Unfortunately, we were waiting for a accompanying final plat that actually goes directly to council, and that is why it's not showing on your agenda before we could introduce this, the Harris rezoning request, which is off of St. Charles Road. Copperstone Commercial, which is what we tabled this evening. Lake Broadway, Lot 4A. This is at the corner of Pershing, and it's the medical offices that are there on Pershing, right at Pershing and West Broadway. And then the shops, the Broadway shops, this is a statement of intent revision in order to amend the statement of intent to incorporate medical marijuana dispensaries as a permitted use within the use list, as well as other uses that will bring the SOI up into contemporary standards with our current UDC. Just so you can familiarize yourself with the parcels, the My House, My Backyard. The My Backyard is where the vehicles are parked. My House is up there on the front on 7th. Our Harris rezoning request here on the right-hand side, and then the Copperstone commercial plat there south of Frontgate Lane, our Lake Broadway Lot 4 PD amendment, and finally our Broadway Shops major plan district amendment to amend the statement of intent. Those are the projects for the upcoming meeting. It is my great pleasure to thank our commissioners that are leaving for their service and their commitment to this body, as well as the goals and the objectives of the city in trying to improve the environment in which we all work, live, and play. We wish you the best of luck as you either move into your retirement off of the commission and enjoy family and other opportunities that may lie ahead. Don't be a stranger, but I please ask if you come back, be polite and keep your time. You only get 3 minutes to speak, unless you're representing a neighborhood association, and then you get 6 minutes to speak. So our adept chair will definitely gavel you because you are accustomed to that. But other than that, we do definitely appreciate your service from the staff's perspective. It has been my pleasure to work with each of you for the period of time, even though I don't always show it. So you all have a good evening. That is all we have to offer tonight, unless I have other staff that want to make comments.
Commissioner comments. Ms. Russell.
Well, it's been an interesting 5 years. This is an incredible body to work with, and I've appreciated learning and getting to know everybody. We have spent late nights here working on the UDO, and I am going to be very sad if I'm not reappointed for another term. So to this body, thank you very much. To the staff, thank you very much for educating and listening to complaints and hanging in there with us. You have been professional and truly appreciate you. Thank you. And I'll be sad if I don't see you later. So thank you. And I'll bring my coffee cup back.
Please.
Ms. Burns.
I'd like to echo what Ms. Russell said. 5 years has been a long time. I've made new friends. I've gotten in fights with a few of you over different issues, but we've always resolved it. I'm very proud of this group and the way that it works together. I think that we are respectful of each other, and we come to conclusions with the best interests of the city at heart, and I'm proud of that. And I can say that with the cases that we hear and the UDC that we developed. And I want to commend my fellow commissioners on all of their efforts over the past 5 years or however long they've been on the commission. I really enjoyed working with you. Staff, you never cease to be completely prepared, answering good questions and maybe not the best questions with the same affection. So I appreciate that, Mr. Zenner. If I'm not reappointed, I'll be disappointed, and I'll probably come sit in the audience because that's what I've done for the past 5 years. So
we need to get you an extra hobby.
Thank you.
I just want to thank the staff for everything. It's been a great experience. I appreciate all the information. They always make everything extremely clear, and I've really enjoyed working with everybody on the commission. It's been an enjoyable experience.
We've enjoyed working with all of you. Thank you for your camaraderie and your service, and we will miss you, Mr. Harder, and we hope to see you back, Ms. Russell and Ms. Burns. So with that, we will move to adjourn.
Second
by Mr. Stanton. We are adjourned.
You learned to not having diseases.